orgasm, you have to feel safe enough in your body to have that orgasm, which means that you have to get past the ego mind that's like, how do I look? What do I sound like? Do I look a porn star? Any sexual shame, any religious shame, in order to have that orgasm. So the key to being orgasmic is learning how to feel safe in your body. Welcome to the Erotic Renaissance Podcast, where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and all things passionate. And this is a particularly spicy episode because we're talking about orgasms, or rather, why people don't have them, or rather, why women don't have them, or people with feminine anatomy. So, funny fact and statistics that they found that 95% of men, when they have sex in a heterosexual encounter, orgasm, and only about 50% of women in a heterosexual relationship orgasm. And I was thinking to myself, this is kind of crazy. And then I was thinking to myself, actually, this kind of makes sense. So if you are one of those people who struggles to have an orgasm, this podcast might be for you, especially if you have feminine anatomy. Though, if you don't, I think you could still get some things out of this podcast. So let's talk about why people don't orgasm and why there is this orgasm gap specifically with heterosexual relationships. Because as we found statistically, this is not the same for people who are lesbians. Let's talk about how in our culture, we tend to associate sex with the idea of male or the man getting off, basically. Sex ends when the man is getting off. It doesn't necessarily end when the woman is getting off. And it kind of shows in the way that we have these kinds of relationships. If you look at porn or you look at any kind of sexuality portrayed in movies, it tends to be focused on the male gaze, the patriarchal gaze, the way that men engage with their sexuality. It is very masculine. It's very goal-oriented. It's very initiatory, has a goal. And the thing about it is that if you are more on the feminine side, whether you are a man or a woman, because femininity has nothing to do with really gender, you may find yourself wanting a sexuality that is a little bit more fluid, a little bit more open to interpretation, a little bit more experience or oriented. And the fact of the matter is that if you are a woman or if you have feminine anatomy, it usually takes you a little bit longer than someone who didn't to have an orgasm in the first place. So that is one reason why people struggle to orgasm. Another reason is because in order for someone to have an orgasm, they need to be able to shut off the part of their brain that garners shame as well as fear. So for the fear piece, you can't really have an orgasm if you think a lion is going to attack you, right? Nobody's pulling down their pants if they think a lion is going to attack them. That would be crazy, right? So we need to feel safe. We need to feel safe enough to be vulnerable in order to have an orgasm. One. Two, you need to feel disconnected from any kind of pieces of shame, because that's just another layer of safety. On the one hand, it's the side of safety that's very much about social safety. You know, we don't want to look at our bodies and be like, oh, I don't look good. Or we don't want our partner to think, oh, why are they acting like that? You know, the slut shaming, the religious shaming, the just all of the shaming that gets put on feminine sexuality can be really, really hard to deal with when you're talking about the context of trying to have an orgasm. And if that part of your brain is not shut down, orgasm is not happening. So if you struggle with orgasm, it's probably because it doesn't feel safe to. I am a believer that everybody can have an orgasm. I don't believe that there are people in the world who can't feel orgasmic energy, who can't have any orgasm at all. I find that in my experience, everyone is orgasmic. There is no one who is not orgasmic. And I find that a lot of people, they might, when they self-pleasure, they might be able to have an orgasm, but they may not be able to do it with a partner. And things like this kind of show up a lot because it's that sense of shame. It's the sense of, I don't feel comfortable in my body, right? If you dislike your body, if you don't like the way that you look, very, very difficult to have an orgasm under those conditions, because whether you believe that the thoughts that you have don't have an effect, they do, right? You can't feel safe if you are, your brain doesn't know the difference between you talking crap about your own body and another person talking crap about your own body. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I look so fat, oh, I look so ugly, while you're having sex, way less chance for you to be able to have an orgasm. Another reason why it's really difficult for some people to have an orgasm is because a lot of people don't have a sense of feeling like their sexuality is theirs. It doesn't feel like it belongs to them. They do it because they want to make someone happy. They do it because they feel like it's what they're supposed to do. They do it because they don't want to upset their partner. And when you start having sex for those reasons, it can really affect long term the way that sex feels to you. It can feel less pleasurable. And there was a really, really good example explored in the book Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski. If you want to read that, that talks about how the context of something can change the way something feels. Like if you smell cheese, you might smell cheese and think, oh, this smells really good, I really want to eat some cheese. But if you smell body odor, you're like, ew, this stinks. But cheese and body odor actually pretty much smell the same thing. But the context of the situation changes it. And it's kind of the same way with sex. The context of you having sex with someone because you don't want them to be mad at you is very different than you having sex with someone because it's something that you want to do and it would be pleasurable to you. That's a very different context. And one context is going to allow you to really reach your orgasmic capacity, and the other one is a bit limiting. So one more reason why I find that people struggle to orgasm is simply because of not feeling like they can't relax enough to have an orgasm. They're in their head too much. They feel like their thoughts are racing and they're just very much in their head and they're not connected to the pleasure within their own body. So it feels like, oh, you know, I can't drop into my body enough to be able to even have this orgasm because I'm thinking about dinner and I'm thinking about all my jobs and I'm thinking about, you know, the kids and all of these other things. Right? So that's yet another reason why it can be a struggle. So if you struggle to have an orgasm, I want to let you know that this is a pretty common experience and there really isn't anything wrong with you. There are so many different reasons why we struggle to orgasm, whether it be shame or just not feeling safe. And there's so many reasons to feel shameful and to not feel safe in your own body. The world truly doesn't make it easy for us to want to experience our sexuality as a beautiful, wonderful thing. So because of that, it tends to be this feeling of like, it just doesn't feel as good as we would want it to. So with all that being said, here are some solutions for if you are struggling to orgasm in a relationship or even by yourself. These are some things that I know as from being a sex coach, they work. Okay, they work very well. So if you have a pen and paper or if you want to save this part, please do. So one of the first things that I think is really, really helpful, well, I'll put it to you this way. We're going to start off with long-term strategies to be more orgasmic, and then we're going to talk about short-term strategies to be more orgasmic. The long-term strategies is stuff that you're going to do on a daily basis in order to increase your orgasmic capacity, and the short-term is stuff that you're going to do during sex, during the moment, during self-pleasure that is going to help you in the moment, right? One's going to be long-term sustainable, the other one's going to be short-term sustainable. Combine them two, you get the best of both worlds. All right, so let's talk about long-term strategies first. Long-term strategy number one for being able to open up more orgasmic capacity is getting to a place where you feel acceptance around your body. That's one of my number one things. If you feel like you hate your body, if you feel like you hate the way you look, it's going to be very difficult to be able to orgasm or to even desire to want to have sex at all. Obviously, having sex, obviously self-pleasure is incredibly vulnerable, requires you usually to take off at least some articles of your clothing. So if you feel just the sense of like disgust or around your body, it can be really difficult to want to orgasm. So in order to combat that, you want to give, one of the things I would ask you to do is maybe one, stay off of certain social medias that have unrealistic body proportions. If you follow someone who has unrealistic body proportions, because one of the things we have to realize in our culture is that everything is Photoshopped. Most people, most celebrities, they're not real. The way they take their pictures, it's either Photoshopped or the lighting can make the makeup look completely different. Posing can make your body look completely different. And 9 times out of 10, most celebrities, most Instagram models, if you catch them on a day where they're eating food and minding their business, they probably look just like you. They're probably not like these pinnacles of the beauty standard, right? The beauty standard is not really real. It's a standard that was created to get you, the consumer, to buy stuff. Right? And that's how capitalism works. We want you to buy things, so we have to instill this feeling of dissatisfaction in order for you to want to get things, right? In order for you to want to fix it. We have to convince you that you are broken in order to get you to fix it. So to combat this, take a detox, take a break, step back from all of the magazines, all of the TikToks, the YouTubes, the Instagram, or whatever that you're watching, where you're looking at all these unrealistic body types that don't really have anything to do with reality. Take a step back from them, pull back from them. And I want you to think about how you would feel about your body if you weren't told that there was something wrong with it. If you just woke up one day and you'd never seen another person ever in your life, and you just saw yourself in a mirror, would you think you were ugly? Would you think you were pretty? Would you think you were amazing? Or would you think you were neutral? Or would you not think about it at all? Right? 9 times out of 10, you're probably not going to think you're ugly, because that really wouldn't make sense. Because then who are you comparing yourself to? And thinking about yourself and thinking about your body within these terms can be really, really healing on the long term. You know, remove the unrealistic standards and start looking at your body. Whether you have to look at yourself in the mirror and pick out one thing about your body that you think is really, really great. Great, wonderful. Try to pick out something you love about your body every single day or every single week. And then next week, pick a different part of your body that you usually wouldn't pick and find something to love about it. For me, I was used to be very, very embarrassed because I have stretch marks on my stomach. I've never had a baby before. So these stretch marks are just from my up and down weight, and they go up on my stomach, and I have a bit of a stomach now. And I used to be really embarrassed of it. Like, even funny is a story, when I was younger, I got those stretch marks from like just being tall that come on the side of your hip. And I remember a guy saw it and he was like, "Oh, that's so gross. Like, why do you have like stretch marks?" And I was just like really sad about it. And I met one of my friends at the time, And one of the things that she'd said to me, she was like, oh, stretch marks are beautiful. They're like little tiger stripes. And I could tell that the way she was saying it, it was pretty genuine. Like she was just like, yeah, there's always beauty defined in everything. Which at first when I heard, I was like pretty annoyed. I was like, ah, I don't like my stretch marks. They're ugly. But after I thought about it, I kind of was like, well, what if I were considering my stretch marks to be these tiger stripes, or what if I consider them to be something else than what that little boy said to me when I was like 15 years old? Like, what would that be like for me? And it really changed the way that I looked at my stretch marks, and I was able to at least find acceptance. You don't necessarily have to be completely in love with your body and like be completely 100% like everything about my body is perfect and wonderful and I never want to make any changes ever. You know, that's like a bit of an extreme of that, but I think body neutrality or body acceptance can be really, really healing. Just being able to look at your body in a way that just feels like it's not indicative of how much you can love yourself, or how much you're allowed to love yourself, that your body may not have anything to do with that. Like if you saw a child and the child didn't meet the beauty standards, would you look at that child and not want to love that child? Would you look at that child and be like, well, you're not worthy of love. You're not worthy of, you know, feeling pleasure. You're not worthy of being in a relationship. You would never say that to a kid. So don't say that to yourself. Change the way that you look at your body. Change the way that you view your body by trying to find these different things about your body that you can accept. Because the longer that you do that and the longer you stay away from all these media things, the longer that you or the more that you will not look at your body as there's something wrong with it. So that's one of my long-term strategies for being more orgasmic, because that's going to deal with not having those crazy thoughts when you're trying to have sex. Number two, do everything that's going to make you feel safe. So if you have shame, if you have any kind of like, you know you've had religious shame, or you've looked at sex like it's dirty, it's bad, it's wrong, start to question that. You know, look at some different, you know, sex education books. You know, I really, really love Come As You Are. I'm going to recommend that book. It's by Emily Nagowski at least 15 million bajillion times, because it's such a transformative book. And to really educate yourself about sexuality and what it actually is, rather than the pornographic version that we see reflected back at us. You know, really start to educate yourself so that sex can feel safe to you. And the more knowledge that you have about it, the less scary it's going to be, because the unknown is going to be always more scary than the not unknown. The third long-term strategy that I would say in order to be more orgasmic is to self-pleasure. Okay. If you're not self-pleasuring at all, if you don't do it and you just have sex, you try to orgasm, it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard because, you know, you don't know what the equipment you're working with. You don't know what you like. You have to know pleasure in order to really give pleasure, in order to receive pleasure, right? Like you kind of have to know what's going on. So even if it's 10 minutes, even if you don't want to self-pleasure in the traditional way where you're actually touching your genitals, like give yourself a self-massage, rub your own head, you know, put on music, put on candles, do what feels good to you. Like allow yourself to have pleasurable moments throughout the day, whether it is drinking tea, allow yourself to keep receiving pleasure. Obviously if orgasm is the issue, being able to self-pleasure, and do it even if it's only for 10 minutes is going to be so monumental, so amazing, even if you just do it on a weekly basis, right? Being able to put that in your routine has so many health benefits. I mean, it literally helps you live longer. And I know a lot of people have a lot of opinions about self-pleasure, like, but as I always say, it literally helps you live longer. It is great for your heart. It's great for depression. It's like the scientific benefits of orgasms and self-pleasure are almost endless. So I would really suggest, if you feel like, oh, this is dirty, this is bad, this is weird, I don't want to touch myself, that's weird, I don't want to talk about that, that's weird. If you find yourself in that place and you feel yourself like having that resistance, you know, just ask yourself why. Why do I feel this way? Where is this coming from? Is this really me? So for some short-term strategies. So short-term strategy on what you can do when it comes to in the moment when you're trying to have an orgasm. Don't focus on having an orgasm. I know this sounds counterintuitive, but it really does work. When you focus on having an orgasm and you focus on trying to have an orgasm, it could really suck you out of the moment and make things really, really hard for you when you're trying to have an orgasm. I can't tell you how many times I've had sex with someone and I was trying to like orgasm and the person's like, "Did you orgasm?" And it just like completely shattered any chances of me having that orgasm, because now I'm thinking about having that orgasm. And then I start having anxiety around the orgasm. And I'm just like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to have this orgasm. This isn't gonna happen. And then you're not having the orgasm anymore. And it's just, it's very frustrating. So don't focus on orgasm, focus on pleasure, focus on what feels good. Keep your focus on your body and what feels good in the moment. Like, don't try to chase the dragon. Don't try to chase the orgasm. Let the orgasm come to you. Okay? Don't try to push it. My second thing that I think is really, really great is when you are having sex, make sure that you're staying connected to the breath. A lot of people, when they start getting closer and closer to orgasm, their breath starts to get really, really shallow. And it can make it really, really hard to have that orgasm. So trying to keep a deep connected breath throughout it, well, one, it'll keep you from being in your head. It'll keep you from thinking about the dishes. It'll keep you from thinking about all that other stuff. And it'll keep you connected to your body and to the present moment, which makes it a lot easier to orgasm, because we just talked about how, you know, not feeling safe and being in your head is like going to kind of kill your chances of having an orgasm. So staying connected to the breath, staying connected to your breathing, and just allowing yourself to breathe and focus on that pleasure is going to be really, really amazing in the short term while you're having sex during the act. And also, it's how, fun fact, it's how you get to multiple orgasm and full body orgasms. But that's a whole nother podcast episode that we're not going to do today. But maybe that'll be next week or the week after that. Another short-term technique that you can do is making sure that whatever stimulation is happening is something that you actually like. People really do have a hard time directing other people about what they like, because they're afraid that if they ask for what they want, that the other person might think they're weird or judge them. So my method of dealing with this is to actually talk about my partner right after sex and just talk about it while we're not having sex, so that they kind of know what I want beforehand. I'd be like, oh, you know, you did that thing. It was really, really great. I would really like it if you did that thing again, you know? And you can even like kind of remind them subtly that that's something that you want during the moment as well. But you really do need to talk about sex in order to get to a place where you're having orgasms. I had a client once where I was talking to her about, you know, her sexual relationship with her husband. And she's like, oh, you know, I want to be with my husband. And I want to do more sex and stuff, but how do I get him to do this? I said, well, you got to talk to him. She's like, how do I get him to do it without talking to him? And it's like, you can't, unfortunately. You truly can't. You have to talk about it, which can feel really terrifying. But I promise you, after you talk about it the first time, it really gets better from there. It usually doesn't get worse. Now, obviously, if you go up to your partner and you're like, you don't make me orgasm, they're probably going to feel some type of way. Maybe don't say it that way. Maybe say it with a, you know what, when you did this, I really liked it. When we tried this, I really liked it. You know, stuff like that. Another short-term thing you can do in order to increase your capacity to have orgasm is to allow yourself to engage in some kind of fantasy with your person. So things like dirty talk and things like that, and incorporating it into your sex can sometimes really stimulate the mind. A lot of people who are feminine leaning need some kind of mental stimulation. They don't really, they're not as visual. And this isn't to say that if you're a woman, you can't be visual. Some people are, but you really have to figure out like, what are the conditions of your turn on? Because we all have different ones. Some people are visual, some people are mental, some people are really into sound, some people are really into smells, some people are into, you know, having a really, really clean environment and things like that. And ultimately, you want to increase that with your sexual encounters so that you have a greater chance of orgasming and having a good time. Like, you want to create conditions for your sexuality that actually feel good, and you want to have the kind of sex that you actually are interested in having. Because not everybody wants to have, you know, sex in one position or in a dirty room or without any smells and things like that. Like, the things that turn you on, you want to figure out a way to incorporate that into the sex so that it, again, increases your orgasmic capacity, right? My last tip for being able to be more orgasmic during sex is to slow down. A lot of times when we are having sex with someone, especially a man, not coming after men, but I'm just saying, that's almost as if it is, if you're with someone who's more masculine leaning, it's like you're on opposite sides. On one side, you know, he wants to go super fast, super rough, super intense. This is also what pornography has taught us. This is also what movies has taught us. Have you ever seen a sex scene in a movie that lasted more than 2 minutes? I don't think so. Doesn't exist. Or maybe it does. I haven't seen it. Right. So for most people, you need if you have feminine anatomy, you need foreplay, and that foreplay needs to last at least 20 minutes every time. Yeah, at least 20 minutes. At least 20 minutes. Okay. It takes at least 20 minutes for someone with feminine genitalia to even get turned on. And when that happens, you find that the vagina is more lubricated, it's ready, it's having a little bit more of a happier time, which makes it a lot easier to orgasm. There are so many people who would be able to orgasm if they just took a little bit more time in order to do so. So slow down, you know, whether it's just like, foreplay doesn't necessarily have to be physical. It could be kissing. It could be sending texts back and forth. It can be, you know, just eye contact or something like that, or feeding each other food. Like, whatever gets you in the mood, whatever turns you on, you want to at least extend that for at least 20 minutes. You know, try to stay away from touching direct genitalia for at least 20 minutes during any sexual encounter, and this will greatly increase your ability to orgasm tenfold, I promise you. So those are kind of my solutions for if you are struggling to orgasm. Of course, there's so many other techniques and things like that. If you need help, if you are struggling with this, always you can message me and we can do sex coaching. It's something that I offer to help anyone to be more orgasmic, to love their body, to have a very healthy and lovely relationship with sex and relationships in general. And so if that's something you want to do, please DM me. I would be happy to help you. With all that being said, I will catch you later and I will see you next week. A little housekeeping here. If you want some personalized help, mentorship, if you want me to look at your tarot readings and give you extra insight of things that I see, help you with any sex, relationship, or dating questions, and just generally get help in your life with your intuitive journey, I would highly suggest you go and find me on Hey Hero. Hey Hero, you can pay $25 to ask me any question about mentorship, about your readings, about your relationships. I don't offer tarot readings on there, but it's pretty much for everything else. If you've been struggling with your tarot readings and your intuition and you need someone to help you understand things better, I highly suggest that you come and find me on Hey Hero. I would love to talk to you, connect with you, and to help you out.